Morning, everybody. Everybody all right? Take your Bible and get over to Matthew chapter 6. We'll get over there in just a few minutes. Matthew chapter 6 is where we're headed today. Well, you like it or not? I see some here and I see some here. With this and that. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of the young couple. Preacher married the young couple. Man, they were perfect. Just the picture of what they ought to be. And been married about 3 months and preacher gets a call. Answers and it's the gal. Cute little thing. She says, "Pastor, we've had a disagreement, and it's been a big one. We've actually had our first big fight." Preacher says, "Well, you know, that's kind of to be expected. You're going to have two different ideas coming together and all that, and there's going to be some ironing out that's going to have to be done." She said, "Well, we did some ironing. Boy, it was tough." Said, "Not only was it wasn't just a disagreement, it was a knockdown, drag out." She said, "I'm ashamed to tell you that." Preacher said, "Well, just hang in there. Everything's going to be okay." She said, I'll be praying for you as you move through." She said, "Well, that'd be wonderful." She said, "But I'm going to need some more practical help than that." He said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, what do I do with the body?" Preferences, you know. You got to be careful when we let preferences override in certain things. I've got a confession here this morning. Since Tracy's not sitting on the front row, she can't give me the eye. We're repainting our downstairs. We have been repainting that for the last, it takes me a long time to paint, and I didn't actually lift a brush. And so we've been repainting the downstairs. My first room going in there for 10 years has been red. Kind of a red. Now it's blue. And during the process of painting, Tracy discovered that I have not liked that red for 10 solid years. I didn't like it the day it went on the wall, and I didn't like it the day we started covering it with the blue. But I never said nothing. See, that was my preference. I had a preference, but she liked it. And she enjoyed that color. And so, to me, it was the perfect color for that front room, even though it wasn't one of my favorite colors. Preferences. We got to be careful about our preferences and how we push certain things. Now, I hadn't heard anything untoward or mean this morning about anything, but just in case you get a mind to do that and push your agenda with that, remember, I do know what to do with the bodies. I learned that a long time ago with Trace too. I can be right or I can be happy, but I can't be right and happy at the same time. So there we go. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read several verses here, and then I want to bring a thought to your mind. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I want you to notice a phrase in verse 25, 7, 28, 31, and 34. It says something to the effect of take no thought. Give no thought. Take no thought. Go into 27. By taking thought, can you add? Take no thought. This particular phrase is a directive. The Lord gives us a directive here, and the directive is for us to cease from worrying. Worry is a dangerous practice to get engaged in. It can kill you. Worry can. The Bible tells that for a child of God to worry, it is a sin. Why is it a sin? Because worry is our way of telling God that we know He means well, but that we're not sure He can accomplish what He says He can accomplish. That's what worry says. That's what worry does. That's what worry takes us to. To worry is to distrust the promises and to distrust the providence of Almighty God. The most basic battle of our life is the battle to believe in the living God. If you think not, look at the world around you. Broad is the gate. Wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. The only thing that equips you to go through that broad gate of destruction is unbelief. Unbelief. The most basic battle in life is the battle to believe in the living God and not to allow our heart to become an evil heart of unbelief after we've come to grips with that. So not only the trouble in the beginning, but also as we progress through life, this unbelief keeps hammering at us and keeps hammering at our heart. Sin grows out of unbelief in the living God. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." We worry about big things. And unfortunately, we worry about little things. The folks that Jesus was talking to on this day were worried about what they were going to eat and drink and put on their bodies. They were worried about some pretty basic stuff. Just like some of us here might be worried about some pretty basic stuff too. Folks living paycheck to paycheck. That's pretty basic. And there are some basic things that go along with that. Worried about how we're going to make it stretch and how we're going to get by from this pay period to the next pay period. Legitimate concern, maybe. But is it a legitimate worry? There is a difference in having a concern and being worried about an issue. It's a legitimate concern, but it's not a legitimate worry. Because to take it to that level, Scripture tells us, is a sin. God doesn't want us as His children. He does not want us to be preoccupied with the things of this earth. He wants us to seek first the kingdom of God. That's above this earth. That's beyond this. He wants us to seek first the kingdom of God. In order to do that, He says He will take care of our basic needs. That He's going to take care of the basics so that we can concentrate on seeking the kingdom of God and putting that first in our priority in this life. Poor folks worry about the necessities of life and can't do anything to fix it. Rich folks worry about running out of the necessities of life at some point, and so they begin to stockpile because they're afraid it'll run out and they won't have their needs met at some future point. Both of those are not trusting. Both of those are non-faith responses, for a Christian at least. Verse 25 here says, take no thought, don't worry. The Greek tense here is kind of a unique one in this piece right here, in that it not only means don't worry, but if you're already quit it. Okay? A unique kind of a tense that it has here. Don't worry, but if you're doing it, don't do it no more, if you're engaged in it. Verse 31, therefore take no thought. Therefore take no thought. The Greek tense there means don't even start it. Don't even go down that road. Don't even begin the path towards this worrying here. Scripture says, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for your life. That's talking about all that life is in this world. Okay? It's talking about this temporal area here. In other words, don't be anxious about this world. Don't be anxious about this time. Don't be anxious about what's facing you or what's around you or what's happening in this world, in this life, during this time, this temporary life, this physical, earthly life that we have here. That's what it's warning against, taking no thought for this. The eating and the drinking and clothing and housing that makes up this earth, don't worry about that. And if you've started to worry about that, stop it. That's what this is really trying to get at. Don't worry about these things during this time. The basics here, the Lord says, I got that. I got those things for you. You're not going to have to worry about that. And if you've started doing that, and if you stress over that, stop it, because you've crossed a boundary. You've crossed over into an area that is wholly mine. I want you to notice the first word of verse 25 says, therefore. That takes you back to verses 19 to 24. And basically the teaching there is to make a choice between God and money. To make a choice between God and what we'd keep score with normally on this earth. And since earthly treasures corrupt you and blind your spiritual vision and draw you away from serving God, why are we spending time preoccupied with getting those things? A child of God's to have a single goal. The single goal is to have treasure where? In heaven. To have treasure in heaven. Back in verses 19 and 20 of the same chapter, it tells us exactly that. We're to have a single vision, a single master. We're to serve God, we're not to serve money. The Lord recognizes that man in his covetousness, and boy, we're bad about that, that man in his covetousness tends to devote his whole life to caring for the externals of food, house, and clothing. But at the end of verse 25 here, he puts it in perspective. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? I mean, is that all there is in life? Are these things the focus of our life? If you can look down there this morning and say that you're not concerned about those things, that those are not the focus of your life, then I tell you that you're well ahead of things at this stage in your life. You're well ahead of things if that's not what you're mainly focused on. And you know what? That's what most folks are consumed with. Completely consumed with these things. Decorate the body. Fix up the body. Clothing the body, putting it in a nice car, sending it to a nice house, packing it with good food, sitting it in a comfortable chair, hanging jewelry on it, putting it in a boat, recreating it, teaching it to swim, teaching it to ski. These are the things that we're consumed with, the things that are temporal. Take it on a cruise when it needs to go on a cruise. And the Lord says life is more than that. Life is more than the recreation and recreating of the body. It's much more than that. Life is more than the body. I live not because my body lives, but because God gives my body life. Life is more than food, and life's more than clothes. So why am I going to worry about those things? Worry's unnecessary. I think sometimes we've forgotten who our Father is. I mean, do you know your Father? Are you well acquainted with your Heavenly Father? My soul, what is He not able to provide? What is there that He cannot do? What is there that He cannot make available to you? Have you forgotten who your Father is? Folks, we should be grateful to our fathers, but friend, there is a Heavenly Father that is far above all of that. You know what? My children don't worry about much in the way of the things that we're talking, the temporal things around here. I haven't seen them worry a bit about what they're going to wear or whether there's going to be food on the table the next round or not. They just don't have a need to worry about that. It just appears. I think sometimes they think it's magic that it does appear, but it just keeps appearing. And so they don't have to worry about whether or not they're going to eat or whether or not there's going to be clothing or shelter or that the air is going to come on when they twist the dial or whatever they do. And they're good at that. They don't have to worry about those things. A bed, water. They don't spend a second worried about any of those things. You know what? When you're young like that, man, especially in high school and, you know, right up into college when you're milking your parents for everything they've got. I mean, when y'all are, you know, loving in this symbiotic relationship. This would be the perfect time to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord the way that that only somebody that had no worries or no problems with anything would be able to do. I'll tell you what, that's the perfect time in life, man. No responsibilities, no aggravations hardly, any of those things. Boy, if you're looking for a perfect time to serve the Lord, boy, as a teenager, that's a great time. Get to serving Him then. Get involved in missions. Get involved in things that are outside of yourself. Get to spending time, making time for things. Laying up some treasure in heaven early. Boy, laying up some treasure in heaven. Let somebody else be concerned about the food and the water and the bed and all that other stuff like that. But just go serve Him, man, with everything that you got. What a better time. There's not a better time than when you're young and don't have all the weight of the world coming in on you with all of that. And so my kids, they don't worry about where things are coming for because their Father provides for them. Provides that. Our Heavenly Father is much more faithful than our earthly fathers ever even thought about being. And yet we choose to doubt that He will provide for us to our shame. In this passage, the Lord's sitting on a hillside and He's looking over the Sea of Galilee. And I can picture the picture there with the little wispy clouds flying over and the sun shining and the people sitting down below Him on the green, green grass. That's my picture. It probably isn't Palestine, but that's my picture. And verse 26, He says, "Behold the fowls of the air," and points them up to things that are flying around. "For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" You know, every bird that lives, lives because God gave it life, right? God gave that thing life. Does God give a bird life and then tell the bird, "I've done my part, now go and figure out how to keep your life"? Huh? Well, no, He didn't do that. That's what He's saying right here. He's saying He doesn't just put them out there and then they're on their own. It says that He provides for them, that He makes a way for them. Birds don't get together and come up with a strategy to stay alive. Huh? They don't have think tanks where they get together and figure out the best way to go about getting some grain or whatever else they need. They don't come up with strategies, and they have no thought processes, and they don't have any ability to reason. But God did plant something inside of them, and that something that He puts inside of them is called instincts. And those instincts kick in. And so God's provided for even the smallest of creatures through their instincts to be able to get out and get things done. That's what drives them to find what they need to survive, the instincts that God has placed inside of them. He sustains their life through that instinct and the placing of it in that life. Now listen, it don't never rain worms. It don't never rain worms. God feeds them through that instinct. He tells them where to find food. And they go where they're supposed to go to find food. And they search. And they work for the food that they get. It says that they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And so He puts this instinct in them to go and work and to work and to serve and to get what they need to survive each and every day. They work hard every day. Hard working, getting out there to look for what they need. No work, no eat. You don't find nursing homes for birds. Huh? They have to work every single day. They got to get up and get going. Get out there and get it done. They don't have any convalescing back at the house. Or others gathering up and redistributing wealth and all of that sort of thing. Notice something else about birds. You don't ever see a bird tear down their nest and make it a bigger nest. You don't see birds taking the carport and turning it into a bedroom. They're satisfied with what they have. They have a place to fly to and lay down and eat in and all that sort of thing. They don't have to keep up with the Joneses in all of that. They don't add bedrooms or install fridges to keep worms in for later. Have you ever seen a fat sparrow? Huh? That's because they work. Isn't that right? The only place you see a fat sparrow is in a cage where somebody's poking food down it. But those that are out in the wild, they're working, they're lean, they're slim, they're trim, they work for their food, they're getting after it every day, doing just exactly what they're supposed to be doing. They fly out there, they find the food wherever God provides it, they don't have a worry. They just tend to what they need to tend to today. It's men that worry. We have enough, but we want to go get more. And we stuff, and we hoard, and we hope, and we fret. Why can't we just fly out there and quit forfeiting a carefree heart? A bird doesn't plan ahead, yet they don't worry about it either. Are you not much better than a bird? Is what he asks. You know what? No bird was created in the image of God. There's no bird that was created in the image of God. There's not a bird that's a joint heir with Jesus. Huh? No bird has a place prepared for them in a place called heaven. And if God sustains the life of a bird, what's He going to do for you? Life is a gift, and it's a gift from God. It's a great gift. Do you think that He'll withhold the sustaining of that life that He blew into you? If all of my resources He were to require today, tomorrow He will feed me. That's what He's saying. If all of my resources are required of me today, His promise to me is that He will feed me tomorrow. That He'll sustain me, that He'll give me what I need. I have to work just like a bird. But He'll sustain me and He'll feed me. Man ought to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. And just as it does not rain worms for birds, it does not rain spaghetti for man. And so man needs to be about the business that God has created him to be about. Work is good. Work is right. And that's how man's to provide through the work that God's provided for him. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Cubits the distance between the elbow and the middle finger. I got shortchanged on the cubit. My cubit's a little short with that one there, but it's about 18 inches is what it's supposed to be. And what he's talking about here is he's not talking about adding a foot and a half to your height. He's talking about the span of life, the span of your life. And he's saying, who can lengthen their life by worrying, basically? Are you going to lengthen your life by worrying about what's going on in your life? Some folks think that they can lengthen their life by taking their vitamins and going to the gym and exercising and eating their veggies. But I say to you, don't kid yourself into thinking that all of that is going to force God to let you live longer. That's not the way it works. Am I saying that all of that is useless? Absolutely. No, I'm not. No. None of that's useless. You eat right, you exercise, and as long as you live, you'll feel better, I guess. Function better. Anytime you take care of this thing the way it needs to be taken care of, you're going to function better with it. And so the Bible teaches that a man's days are numbered, and to be consumed with this life and neglect the kingdom is not to have the realization that there's a big picture. There's a bigger picture than all of this. And we need to be in tune with what the big picture is. At some point in his life, man usually starts to worry about dying. Huh? At some point, man kind of starts to thinking about dying. Let me remind you of something here. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Why let it ruin the time you got? It's going to happen. You might as well just go ahead and mark that down today. Now, what are you going to do about it? That's the thing. What is that going to call? How does that play out in your life now? Now that you know, now that you know, you're not going to make it out of here alive, and maybe not out of here. I don't know. Well, you don't know either. You don't have any idea how much time you got left. You can sit around and worry about it and let it ruin today, and then get up in the morning and start all over and let it ruin that day. Or you can do something about it. I mean, there are remedies. There are ways that a man can figure out how to not have to worry about those things each and every day. So it is going to happen, and spending our time worrying about it, it's just going to ruin the time that we do have left. I'm amazed at times of coming to church here and passing by these folks on these bicycles out here on the side of the road. And they're pedaling to beat the band. Sunday morning, sun's out for the most part, and passing by them, they're on the shoulder of that road just laboring away. And I could be completely wrong, but I just get this idea of them out there thinking that they're gonna prolong their life, and and they're just working like a slave to make all of that happen. And they sickle right by the church, just sick, and it's downhill right here, so they really sickle, and coming down through here and sickling down through here, never even giving a thought to the right over here. Looking longingly over there at the Gatorade at Prusky's as they go by, but never a thought about the church that they're passing up or the steeple that they're passing by and all of that stuff. You know what? They'd be a whole lot better if they just swing in right here. I'm not trying to be funny, because that's what Scripture says. Scripture tells us that we'd be a whole lot better to swing in and tend to the spiritual things than we would be to go in on that diet and doing all kinds of those things that we put our body through torture to make it live longer, you see. We'd be much better to swing in to the church. It's obedience that God promised would lengthen life. Let me take you over to Proverbs for just a minute. Nail that one into your heart and life. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Why? Verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee? Huh? Looks like to me that obedience is the key to long life. Obedience to the things of God is the key to peace. It's the key to length of days. Not sweating on a treadmill. Huh? That's going to help your quality of life, but this right here is talking about your length of life. The length of life is determined by your obedience, it says, in this area. Now, that's a general rule. That's not 100% across the board, but a general rule that we need to get out there. As long as we live a righteous life, there's a reason for us to be around. Ain't no reason for us to be around if we're not going to live a righteous life. But as long as we're living one, there is a reason to be around. God wants us to enjoy the gift of life that He gives us. A gift that He gives us every day. You wake up this morning, you need to thank God for the gift that He's given you for this day. He's given you the gift of life. And even if it only lasts to mid-morning, He's worthy to be praised. Amen? Because He's given you that gift one more day, one more minute, one more second. Boy, we could get off into that and just live a life of praise, couldn't we? Because, man, it just beat again right there. Man, again, right there. You feel that? Huh? That's a gift. That's the gift that God's given you on this planet right here. Every time that thing beats, it's a gift, and He's to be thanked for the gift that He's given you. It's a wonderful gift that He's given us every day. Worry won't let you do that. Worry makes you wonder if it's going to do it again. You know what? Praise is thankful for the one that you just got. Huh? I'm not worried about the next one. Because when this one stops, the next one's going to be in a place called heaven. When it stops on this side, it's going to beat in a whole new place. It's going to beat in a whole new atmosphere. It's going to beat in a whole new way on the other side. And I'm going to take one last rancid breath of this world. And the next time I suck in air on the other side, it's going to be the sweetest, cleanest, crispest stuff I ever had in a set of lungs. I thank God for the gift that I've had and the breath that I just had and the heartbeat I just had. And I'm not guaranteed the next one. But I do know this, the one that I'll have beyond this life is going to be the best one. It's going to be the best one that there ever was. Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Yea, they toil not, neither do they spin. Some folks live for clothes. What's in, what's not. The Lord says, consider the lilies, the wild flowers. They grow easily. They grow freely. They grow effortlessly. They are what they are. Man, I tell you what, if there's something that young people and some oldsters could get a hold of right here is simply this, you are what you are. Be what you are. Why would you want to be something that you're not? Be what you are, huh? I got to thinking about that today, and I got to looking at the clothes that I put on. Why do I project this? Why do I want other people to see me the way that I'm dressed today? Huh? Why? Am I trying to manufacture something with what I'm putting on? Am I trying to put some kind of a message out there with this? I would say probably. I never really sat down and thought about what I put on and what I'm trying to convey with what it is. But here's one thing that I do know. I do know that it's compatible with what I am. It's compatible with who I am. That I'm not trying to be something that I'm not. That I'm not trying to put on some kind of a show for anybody here this morning. I think that's a good way to be. You may not like it. You may not like what's being projected. You may not like the message that is being conveyed with my apparel this morning. But I'm very comfortable with it. Very comfortable with where I am. And it's not doing an injustice to me at the core of my being for me to portray what I'm putting out here today. And so I'm not having to worry about it with all of that. Some of you may have to worry about it, but I don't have to worry about it this morning because I'm okay with where we are. Be what you are. Man, God created you unique and special. There's only one of you. Thank God there's only some of you. There's only one of you. But there's only one of you, and you're special just like you are. Be you. You don't have to be what everybody thinks that you need to be. Put what you want on the outside. It's not going to change what you are on the inside. You are what you are on the inside. No matter what you put out here, no matter what kind of message you try to send with this out here, you are what you are on the inside. Man, let that be. Let what's in there out. Verse 29. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon was rich and he couldn't match a flower. He was rich. He could afford anything in the world to put on, but he couldn't match a flower. And when we've done all that we can do, we still can't match what God can do with a wild flower. Why let fashion and things like that make us fret? Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Don't worry about what you wear or how long you'll live or what you'll eat or drink. God can take care of that. And that's the long and short of that. Enough to do His will is enough. Huh? Enough to do His will is enough. It ought to be enough for us. Verse 33, let's go down there. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You don't have any grounds for worry if your heart's right. He'll give you food, He'll give you clothing, He'll determine the length of life, and He'll sustain all of that. Birds have a heavenly Father to sustain them. So do you. So do you. Worry's unnecessary because we have a Father that loves us. Loves us more than life itself. Loved us so much that He gave His Son for us. Philippians chapter 4, Paul says it this way. Let's see if I can find this right quick. Philippians 4, looking at verse 6, says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Folks, that's some hefty promises for the redeemed here this morning. Those are some weighty, substantive promises for the child of God in the room here today. What are you accomplishing for the kingdom today? I know that came out of the blue, didn't it? But it's a question that needs to be answered. What are you accomplishing for the kingdom today? Do you even care what you're accomplishing for the kingdom today? Are you busy trying to cling to this life? Is it all about this life and all that we can gather or garner? Is this what our focus is? Is this what is consuming us here at this time? Is it all about this life and what we can gather and garner during this life? Or are we accomplishing things for the kingdom today? Do we care? Do we see the difference? Do we see the nuances that the Lord is making us aware of here in the sixth chapter of Matthew? I would say to us today that we need to start a new account. We need to start a new account with the Lord. We've let the other one either sit or we begin filling the wrong kind of accounts in the wrong kind of way. I think we need to start a new account today. Open a new account and start filling that thing up. How do we do that? Go back to the first part of chapter 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. That's talking about opening a new account today, or adding to an old account that's been dormant for some time. Opening a new account, look to spend the time that we have left and spend it wisely. See, that's what the Lord wants from us. We're to be pleasing unto Him. He loved us first. He wants us to love Him back. He said, I'm going to take care of the necessities and the basics, so it's going to free you to be able to do what I want you to do here. I'm going to take care of your basics so you're free to do kingdom work, so that you're available when I need somebody to do something for me. That's what He's looking for. He wants us to spend the time that we have wisely. Every day that you're about this body, every day that you're about this life is a day that you neglect the kingdom. Your allegiance is divided. There's a war that's taking place. And every day you let this body, this flesh, this life trump things is the day that you begin to neglect the kingdom. And when that happens, then days become weeks. Weeks become years. And years, obviously, decades. And one day we draw our last and we have nothing to show for having been a Christian for decades. Because our priorities were messed up. And because we looked at things temporally rather than understanding that we're eternal. Eternal. Live for King Jesus today. That's the message. Live for King Jesus today. Because it's not all about you. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 3, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life, and peace shall they add to thee. It's not all about you. Live for King Jesus. Open a new account if you've got one closed out. If you've got one that's been dormant, start adding back to it. Lay up some treasure in heaven. Listen, friend, if you're lost here this morning, you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can open an account today. And the way that you would do that is by surrendering your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way out of this life alive. It's through Jesus. You come through Jesus or you do not come at all. So now why do you have to go and talk like that? Why do you have to go and say things like that? Well, because it's true. That's just the cold, hard, bottom line truth of the matter right here. No man comes unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. You come through Him or you do not come at all. Well, I think this and I think that and I think this. I don't care what you think. You're not God. And until you graduate to that, you don't have a standing as far as I'm concerned with your thinking. Your thinking is wrong. There's one God. There is one God. And there is one mediator between man and God. And that one mediator is the man, Christ Jesus. You will come through Him or you will answer to Him in the final day. And so I say to you today, why not get on board and let Him meet your needs? Let Him provide what you stand in need of. Love Him back, and make this life the best possible life that it can be. Live for King Jesus. Open an account. Start laying up some treasures where it counts, which is beyond this life and in the life to come. What is it that lays up treasure on the other side? Man, it's what you do with people. It's what you do with people. Your resources are a way and a reason and a thing for you to reach people. That's what God's designed the resources for. It's not for you. It's a pass-through. He allows us to have things to pass through so that we can reach people. And so I say to you today, live for Him. Lay up some treasure. How do you do that? Make it more than about you. Make it about people and their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How about it? You got an account open today? Have you put anything in it lately? Why don't we start afresh and anew? And the way we could do that is simply kneel at an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, had my priorities messed up. But today, I'm going to get back on track. It's not about me. It's all about you. And I believe that you can provide for me in my hour of need. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house today. We thank You, Lord, for the Word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank You, Lord, that Your thoughts are above our thoughts. And Lord, when our thinking gets all muddied up, messed up, God, that we can look into the mirror of the Word, and God, it can cut soul and spirit asunder and leave us, Lord God, with the bare truth for us to deal with in our heart of hearts and in our soul of souls. I pray, dear God, this morning that, Lord, that You might put Your finger on the spirit of worry that permeates and pervades the church of the living God. God, this matter that causes us to move towards, slide towards unbelief. And God, we know that unbelief, man, has no part in the kingdom. We ask you, Father, that you'd help us to believe, Lord God, that you are who you say you are and that you can do what you say you can do. And Lord, that it doesn't depend on us. It all depends on you. Help us, Lord God, to get the right frame of mind and get moving in the right direction. Lord, there is no king but thee. And we ask you, Father, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Lord, to tend to the things that we're having trouble with today. God, free us up to do kingdom work by providing the needs that we stand in need of. Help us, Lord, to see the hoarding and the gathering, Lord God, sometimes is what it is. It's a reliance on self rather than relying on you. Help us to determine where our allegiance lies in that. And Lord, if it be misguided or misplaced, I ask you, Father, to help us get back on track with that. Lord, treasure in heaven. What a sound that has. What a ring there is to that. God, I have a desire to lay up more treasure in that fashion. And I pray, God, that you'd help me to do so. Help me to be the kind of man, the father, pastor that you'd want me to be. Lord, that I wouldn't be about my business and what I want, but God, be more about your business. Now, Father, I pray that for these that I love. I ask you, Father, to love them to yourself in that way. And now I just leave those things in your hands, Father. Trust you for another day with them. Thank you for the day that we've got. Thank you for that heartbeat, for I pray it in Jesus' name. And amen.